Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing?
Oh, hi, Augustimus, Chris Broad. Can you hear my? I've just put some slippers on my feet because my feet were making like a slightly damp kind of noise as I stood on my hardwood floor, like you were broadcasting with some kind of horrible octopus. So I'd like to apologise for any of those noises. I'd also like to apologise on the recording session. I've called you Bashment, which upset you because you didn't know what it meant.
Didn't know what it meant. We always get interesting Bashment! Noises. We always get interesting noises from your end, don't we? Last week, yeah. The week before, we had an Irishman singing. Just singing in the street outside your house. That was
got
pleasant.
A beautiful voice. A couple of people on Twitter actually asked me to record him. I think he'd love that. I mean, let's face it, he'd love anything that would give him £10 to go buy one of those little bottles of whiskey. But he is very aggressive when he's drunk, but lovely when he's not.
Have you ever actually stopped him and spoken to him in the morning or the afternoon?
Oh, no, but he stopped me and had a chat with me. Yeah, no, he's, as I said, in the morning, he's lovely and full of the joys of spring. But once he's had a few, he's a little bit aggressive, little bit much.
Oh, the excitement of living in Soho, you know, living out here where I live on the outskirts of Sendai. It's never quite as exciting as your life, Pete.
No.
I can only dare to dream what it's like. But it is your birthday coming up this week, isn't it? How are you feeling about that?
Yes, it is. I'm trying to figure out when this show comes out. It will
probably
have been my
after.
Birthday. Yeah. So it's my birthday coming up. I was under the impression we were going to pretend that it had been my birthday. So I'm trying to think of the things I'm going to be doing on my birthday. What I've been doing mainly for the past couple of weeks is using a sauce that I like to call, and the world likes to call, yuzu. Yuzu sauce, the horrible lemon that nobody likes. It made into a sauce. I have been putting it on everything, Chris. So I imagine on my birthday, I'm going to be just eating a lot of yuzu sauce because it's been going on everything. I've gone through a bottle in a week.
Is this from the Japan Center, like the Japan Goods store around the corner?
I went in there. I went, you know what? Everyone else is queuing outside your Tesco's and your Sainsbury's and stuff. I'm going to go take a walk on the wild side, go to the Japan Center, and went in and spent £90 on, let's face it, very little. But never mind.
It is pricey. It's the priciest life hack, certainly when it comes to shopping. Yeah. I remember going in there and being impressed because you don't get Japanese products in the UK much. And I think it's the only place I've ever seen Japanese products on sale, like food and stuff. But the prices were substantial.
Astronomical. I did on Sunday sit in the sunny churchyard behind my house and drank a Ramune soda bottle. I was just like, this is the life. But it was like one of the metal bottles, so I didn't have to tit about with that stupid ball. So it's a one of those big metal bottles, and I was just like, this is flipping brilliant. This is the life. I was having a real time.
That is cheating. You can't have a bottle of rum there and avoid the really annoying, like, cumbersome bloody ball that rattles around the top and explodes everywhere. The problem is though,
this Ravenet bottle, it gives you twice as much soda. So, you know, it's like a mega sized bottle of that, because it doesn't really hold that. As soon as you get through the novelty of getting the ball in the neck of the thing, and then you're like, nom, 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 and it's all gone in about 10 seconds. I demand value. I demand volume. Gosh darn it.
Demand volume. How would you describe Ramenet for listeners who don't know what it is? Because obviously outside of Japan, I think we have it in the UK. We did like 50, 60 again, years ago. It's a very retro style drink, isn't it? What's the best way to describe it?
It is a very basic soda for you American listeners, or a very basic lemonade.
So, like cream soda, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit cream soda, but there are different flavours. I think there's like a melon flavour and a couple of others, but like, I'd like them to flirt with bubble gum. I don't want to change my campaign from Coolish to Ramenet, but I would like them to have a crack at a bubblegum flavoured Ramenet, if indeed it doesn't already exist.
It does exist. Exists here.
Oh, does it? Okay, fine.
It tastes rather disgusting. If you're wondering, if you want to know what Ramenet looks like, we did feature it in the Hiroshima video on Journey Across Japan. So if you want to check that out, go and have a look at that. My friend Ellen and I are sitting on a beach by the Itsukushima Shrine or Miyajima, and we're trying to open Ramenet, and it gets very messy very quickly. And while we're on the subject of flavours of things, I was at the supermarket, and I've recently discovered a new brand of Coolish, simply referred to as Coolish Gear. And it's Coolish, flavoured like the very energy jelly that kept me going on Journey Across Japan. Good old energy jelly, Dr. Jelly's favourite, combined with Coolish. And it's like a slushy. I think you'd like it if you're into slushies.
Is it like, because I've had, so Coolish comes in two major kind of setups, I think. There's like the Coolish ice cream, which is just like a kind of the kind of ice cream, kind of soft serve vanilla, the stuff that Margaret Thatcher, our ex prime minister, was involved in creating, which we mentioned on a previous podcast. And then there's like ones where you'll have flavors like, you can get like a Kalpis flavor, and that's more like a sorbet, like a slushy sorbet. So this is like very much in that camp, but it's those little energy bottles that you buy or get in games like Yakuza. Those little kind of wee brown, like little mini cola bottles that are just full of caffeine and full of sugar and full of, you know, all the stuff, you know, taurine and stuff. There's stuff that's going to wake you up effectively. You see people drink them, you know, as they're coming home or getting up in the morning. They are so good. They're delicious, but I imagine it rots your insides. But Coolish have obviously pivoted. And I'm not going to get a taste one, am I? I'm not going to get to taste one.
You are not, unless I go to the supermarket again and buy a few, stick them in the freezer for when you're over, the next time you come over.
I do wonder if I could get like a... Because I sent a package to Germany of the Super 8 film that we filmed in Sapporo. So I'm looking forward to getting that back sooner rather than later. And... I got this wonderful email from all in German saying we have received your package. I was like, wow, cool. But it went over DHL in one day. Now there must be delivery mechanisms that allow you to move something really quickly in one day. And if I just got like a cool box, filled it with ice or dry ice, and just shoved a load of Coolish in it, or rather got you to do so, and you know, got it dropped off, I reckon it could get here in a day, surely. The planes are empty, the sky is empty from planes, so presumably the cargo system has never been more efficient.
Like drug running, but with Coolish. I know for a fact things take forever to go between the UK and Japan. I got some birthday gifts and cards from folks back home, and it took like 2 or 3 weeks. So,
but not if you're willing to like slam a good 100 quid down on the table and go, get this to Japan tomorrow. I remember chatting to a bloke in a really quite obnoxious cargo plane flyer in Osaka. No, Kobe in a rock bar, because that's where I live all the time when I'm in Japan. And he was so flipping obnoxious, American bloke. And he was giving it the big licks, going, I fly the bridge from Chicago. I'm going to Osaka tomorrow to pick up a plane, and I'm going to I fly those planes faster than they're designed to be flying at. There's a room behind me. There's the cargo plane, but there's a bit of room behind me where I could do squats. And I could do pull-ups. I got weights in there. And he's basically a bloke who, when he's not flying, while he's up in the air, he does like sit-ups and does workouts and stuff. And I was like, brilliant. Right, you're the coolest. You are the coolest man. I think that's what he thought he was, but he was not the coolest. He was the most obnoxious shouting man in Kobe. But yeah,
you've sold him to me pretty well, to be honest. He sounds like a movie character, and I want to be friends
with him. I do all my workouts 10,000 feet in the fucking sky, man. I'm a sky jock.
That sounds like an amazing individual. I am going to go to that rock bar in Kobe and seek him out for a video. That'd be a great little documentary. America's greatest pilot.
Oh, it would be lovely being a cargo pilot. It's just you and a mate just flying all around the world. Where does this need to fucking go? All right, we're going to Manila. Right, where are we going now? We're going to Germany. And every couple of nights just getting ratted in a bar. Lovely old job.
Doing the good old flight route between Manila and Germany.
It's a classic. It's a big one.
I think of all the money you can make on the side shipping Coolish around on freight.
Yeah.
Having a little cool box. Coolish in one hand, drugs in the other box. Brilliant. Speaking of money on the side, Ryotaro.
Man on the side.
I remember last week I brought up Ryotaro had started his own YouTube channel, right? Have you seen any of the videos yet?
I saw the first one and I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed his use of, it's not mnemonics, I guess it's just kind of like word sounds
weird,
a little bit
phrases.
Like, you've got to get in Ryotaro's mind to understand it. But I've not seen his new one. I did plan on watching it yesterday, but I had a few things on. But I'm going to sit down after this recording and have a watch.
He taught a really convoluted way to say with natural pronunciation the phrase ikura desu ka, which means how much is it, right? Last week he taught arimasu, which means to have or to be, right? Like pen arimasu as a pen. He taught arimasu as arimasukon. Just remember the phrase arimasukon, and you'll remember arimasu. I was just like, no, Ryotaro, that might be good for a few little phrases, but as a means of learning an entire language, it's not going to work. I need like a little photo of Muhammad Ali with a face mask on. And he was like, just remember, Ali mask on. To be fair, you can remember that.
If that works for you, and to be honest, it's not just about thinking about Ali with his mask on every single time. It's about thinking about Ali with his mask on the first 10 times, and then it's in your vocab, isn't it? But like, because ikura desu ka is something that I know, one of the few things I do know in Japanese, and it's because there was a video game in the very deep and distant past called Ikari Warriors, and it was on the Spectrum or the Amstrad. I don't even remember playing it, to be honest, but that's what I think of when I think of how much is it. The Ikari Warriors. Ikura desu ka. And it's not even the correct word. It's really weird. Well,
yeah, using the Ryotaro mnemonic method. There's a word in Singapore that they say at the end of sentences. I think la, right? Something, something la.
Part of the language. Liverpudlian.
Yeah. And
that's
he just
they talk.
Kind of taught that. It was like ikla. Ikura, and he did like that. It was a bit weird. I don't think it works, but nevertheless, it's certainly interesting. My favourite part of his videos is the 20-second opening montage, and for that alone, I'd encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to go and check out Ryotaro's Japan. It is like a cheap, low-budget, crappy spy film. It's like, and it's just loads of really awkwardly placed screenshots.
Sensei having a go at the student. Look at him having a go. The bloke was just having a go. You weren't this negative with my YouTube channel. You were actually quite helpful.
Well, your YouTube channel, I think it's got educational benefit. You taught us how to buy rice cookers at an airport. That is useful.
Good point.
That is a useful
skill. Yeah, one video per year. That's all I'm giving them. I've been learning a few Japanese words with the video game. Oh my god, it's the worst video game ever. Like, I've talked about Final Fantasy 7. I've got a bit of time off. I'm getting into stuff I wouldn't usually get into. I'm playing a game called Disaster Report 4. Are you familiar with these series?
What? I am not familiar with Disaster Report 4. What the devil is that?
I'm not either, but it's what looks like a PlayStation 3 game that fell into some kind of development hell. You can get it on the Switch. It's 55 fucking quid, and it is the most janky piece of crap I have ever played in my life. And I'm sure there are people out there, there are people who love this podcast, love Japanese culture, love otaku culture, and they're going to say, Pete, you're an idiot. You must get into this Disaster Report game. I played a few hours of it, and it is basically a man on a bus is in an earthquake. I think it's a game where there's an earthquake all the time and you've got to rescue people, help people out, feed people, clothe people, bathe people. I don't really know. But you just wander around this janky landscape, and the performance on the Switch, even though the game looks like toss, is dreadful. And I paid 55 quid for it. But I did learn the word tatemono. So tatemono food, tatemono building. So that's something I've got to show for my 55 bloody quid.
Some Japanese, invaluable Japanese knowledge. That's great,
yeah,
though.
I guess the pacing of the game is so slow, you can learn the language, you can learn more words, which is quite good. So, yeah, there you go.
I mean, it goes hand in hand with your morning shower routine, where you learn Japanese by sticking stuff to the wall. And yes. It's great. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Between the video game, Disaster Report 4, your shower curtain technique and Ryotaro's Ali mask on, you'll be a pro in no time.
Damn right.
Dear, oh dear. why did you pick that game? Why did you spend like $50 on that one game? Where did you see it?
I'll tell you why, because it looked janky. It looked janky and it looked weird and it looked odd. And I thought, that's the kind of stuff I need in my life. And I wasn't wrong. I was not wrong.
Why was it so expensive for a game that's clearly not that good?
Yeah, I don't know. It was digital download. I can't really. Can you trade games in digital download? You can't, can you?
No.
Yeah, it's absolute waste of time. Absolute waste of time. But look, it's nice. It reminded me of the janky moments of the old video game Shenmue. So enjoyable in a weird kind of way.
You should consider doing like a podcast on old retro video games. I think it'd be quite fun.
What review?
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing a video game in Super Potato in Akihabara, the retro video game shop, and it was like Fisherman Supreme Man or something, and it's basically a fish, just an old man who's just fishing by a pond, and he just pull out fish, and then he evaluates how good the fish is, and then you put the rod back in and fish again, and that was a PlayStation 3 game.
There are so many fishing games, and certainly in Japan, obviously fishing is a massive lifestyle over there. And you know, all the,
it is,
remember the Dream, you had Dreamcast controllers that, well, it was like a fishing rod, spool. I don't know what you would call them. Yeah, there was loads of, there's Dreamcast 1, there's a PlayStation 1. They're like right throughout the life cycle of all of the video game consoles, they've always been fishing controllers because older people like to, younger people like to fish. And obviously, there's that place in Osaka, in the arcade. If you go downstairs, you're allowed to. You can just do a bit of fishing in like a shitty little paddling pool, and then throw the fish back, and then you get a picture with your fish and win a prize. It's really weird.
Yeah, there's a place in Shibuya where you can catch your own fish and eat them there and then. And it's just that there's a big sign out the front that just says "Let's fishing." And I've often thought about going in, yet to do it. Maybe the next time you're over, we'll give it a punt.
It's a video, isn't it? It's a video.
Certainly is. I've certainly done worse over the years. Certainly done worse. Yeah. So the bar's pretty low already. News from Japan, though. What we got?
News.
I didn't find that much news going on in Japan at the moment. Obviously, it's all coronavirus related. And I'd like to think that this podcast is something of a escape from the tyranny of coronavirus and the news about it, because it just dominates every headline at the moment. But unfortunately, the headline this week is coronavirus related, and it is about divorce.
Right. Oh, dear.
You might remember, I don't know if you remember, back in February or March, there was a report that because of the coronavirus, couples in China were divorcing. Divorce rates actually went up because couples who don't normally spend time together. I'm sitting indoors for a month at a time going, wait a minute, I don't actually like you. Exactly. That's what they said. There's a company in Tokyo called Kasoku, and they've launched a kind of program, a scheme where people can rent out an apartment for $40 a day, about 4,400 yen, where couples can separate and escape to and avoid divorcing. The idea is you can go rent out this apartment for $40 and avoid your partner and then not end up divorcing. So rather than have an argument or deal with your partner for long extended periods of time, you can escape to one of these little apartments and live happily ever after for the day. It seems like a cool idea to some extent. It's quite reasonably priced, isn't it? An apartment for $40, that's pretty reasonable. Yeah, it's cheaper than Airbnb.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could just start, if you wanted to, you just have a little, it's like a really cheap love hotel. Chris, what, yeah, I mean, you could start a little business, like a cheeky little business. You could get, phone boxes still exist in Japan. They're still very popular. Why don't you just rent out phone boxes to people who just want a bit of fucking space from their family? 10 quid a pop, get in the phone box.
That isn't that equivalent to theft? The theft of a public phone box,
or a toilet in a family mart, because most family marts have little toilets. You just rent that out. 10 quid.
That is great.
10 quid. 10,000 yen. Get in the toilet. You're allowed an hour.
That is thoroughly grim. What I would say is, if I had a garden, which I most certainly don't, I would buy lots of little sheds or shacks, put them up, have like 10 rooms, and then rent them out as escapes, little couple escapes, little retreats. And that'll be my side business along with my YouTube channel. But apparently it's been kind of popular. I think there's the spokesman for this company, Kasoku. They've had 20 customers since the campaign started on April 3rd. And not only do you get this apartment for $40, you also get a free 30-minute divorce consultation with a legal official, whatever that means. That's pretty
How
grim,
quick
isn't it?
Is it to set up businesses in Japan? Because I always think there's just so much kind of red tape to set it up. This Kasoku has managed to set up a business in like no time at all. They've got the services of a legal professional. Incredible industry from young Mr. or Mrs. Omano.
It's quite the pivot. Basically, the company, they've got like they just own like offices, remote offices, and kind of apartments and things. They've got 500 units, and they're typically for tourists. And I think they did it through Airbnb. They've got these fully furnished apartments. But given there's no tourism, tourism's gone down effectively 100%. They've been left up shit creek. So they basically thought, I know, let's rent them out to couples who are a bit fed up of being stuck indoors together. So it's quite an ingenious little pivot of a business model, isn't it?
Yeah, very clever. Yeah. What's that big building? The capsule building. I can't remember the name.
Nagakin capsule building.
Nagakin. I mean, what are they? I mean, because one of them was on Airbnb, and then it went off Airbnb, and presumably it will be on Airbnb again. Because, like, obviously there'll be no tourism. So, you know, come around sort of like September when things are starting to get back on its feet, I reckon they've got to put that back on Airbnb. And as soon as they do, I'm flying out to stay in one of those little capsules because I find the whole project fascinating.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out.
My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When did you see the Airbnb apartment? For people listening who don't know what the Nagakin capsule building is, it's like the coolest building in Tokyo. Well, it's easily my favourite building. It's like a load of washing machines have been sellotaped together and launched into the sky. It's in the movie Wolverine. Wolverine Japan. I can't remember. Do you remember what it was called? Tokyo Wolverine or something?
I'm not a big guy.
All you need to know is rubbish and best avoided. It's not a good film. But they do stay there in the movie. And I think that's the only movie I've seen it in. But just type in Nagakin Capsule Building and be amazed at the architectural wonder.
It was built like as a modular, kind of futuristic social kind of living experiment in the 70s, I want to say, was it?
70s,
and the capsules were designed to be replaced for different needs and as they got older. But the simple fact was the money ran out. I think the walls are full of asbestos and it's just going to be very, very expensive to replace or do anything with. But there's an argument to say it has some kind of architectural importance and so it should be upkept. But there's only a few people actually living there now and the rest is just kind of, I think people just have a wander around and have a look. But bearing in mind that Japanese apartments are very, very small, this is a really like a 70s futuristic idea about what modern central city living would be like. And to be quite frank, San Francisco and all of the kind of the tech hubs of the world are kind of offering similar kind of dorm style accommodation. And I think something like the Nagakin capsule kind of experience would probably be a little bit better and definitely a little bit cooler.
Well, what I will say is that they keep trying to knock the damn thing down, which is a real shame because it's stunning. It's next to Shiodome, which is a really futuristic, nice skyscraper district. Yeah. And it's kind of in between there and Ginza. But they keep trying to knock it down, but people keep saying, no, it's, you know, a place of wonder. And is that what it's technically called, a place of wonder? But I would love to go there and like make a video and actually just like rent out. If the Airbnb listing is back up, I'm going to check it out after this. I would love to go there and like make a video or a short film inside of it because it's just absolutely stunning. Yeah.
I'd strongly urge you, if you go, I have a link for it. You could sort of find. I have a link. I think I've got an old link somewhere on an old email. Maybe they've got some contact details. You can. You can email. I'll chuck it up.
But if you're coming to Japan or Tokyo, any of you guys listening, like, do go and check it out before they knock it down. There's a risk it might be gone one day, and it's a real shame if they do get rid of it. So go and check it out.
That's great.
I'd love to go and stay in it at least once, even if there is asbestos in the walls. That could be a little bit of a downer in an otherwise exciting environment. Cool, but there you go. Coronavirus divorce apartments. Great idea, great business concept. We now turn our attention to Speedy Japanese, the segment in which we teach Pete Japanese in a speedy nature. And given that the two things we've discussed today revolve around apartments and houses, most notably apartments which you can rent out to escape divorce, I thought I'd teach you the word for apartment and house. And I think you might already know them, to be honest, Pete, but let's give it a whirl anyway. Do you know the Japanese word for apartment?
I imagine it's a gairaigo word, apato.
Yeah, good.
Apato.
Make sure the pa noise, you extend that. So apato.
Apato.
If you just say apato, no one will know what you're on about. But if you say apato,
I want a potato.
that would certainly get mixed results the next time you say that in a Japanese bar. Yeah, apato. What about house? Do you know what house is?
I do know what house is because I remember I used to get it wrong. I used to say, Ie is no and Ie is house. And it turns out good. I was, for the longest time, just saying house to everyone. House, house, house.
So it's good. Ie. Yeah. It's a common mistake, to be honest. Yeah, it's a common mistake. Ie means no. Ie means house. Literally, I and
Chris.
Ie.
Chris, it's a tough word to say that. Anything. Yeah.
It's a tough word to say though. House. It's so short, isn't it?
It's like one of those. Like hiragana used to have 50. There used to be 50, and now there's like 46, and there's like three or four missing hiragana. And I was reading about this on your app that you recommended.
Human Japanese.
Yeah, it's real. You know what? Human Japanese. I don't know what you're. Filthy little relationship with this app is, but it really is. It gives you a lovely introduction to why the language is as it is. Effectively, how kanji appeared in Japan, and why rich people were the people who learnt it, and women weren't allowed to learn it, and so women needed a way of writing because they wanted to write, and so they started appropriating Chinese symbols that had the same sounds but not the same meanings to form words. So that's why we now have hiragana. So that's why the Japanese now have hiragana. There are varying concepts and opinions on that, but there was a real appetite for women who because, you know, noble women weren't allowed to learn anything effectively. They needed a way of expressing their feelings and writing shit down. They effectively created a language in the main or in the most part.
Huh. Not even I knew that. And I'm the one that shouts out the app, Human Japanese, every other week. Knowledge.
Fascinating.
It is a great app, though. I shout that out. I think in everything I do, I shout out Human Japanese, and yet nobody seems to download it or say or like reply to me. Yeah, I've got it. So my work clearly it's not yet finished. I need to keep shouting it out. Best Japanese learning app ever for beginners. Mm. And now turn our attention, ladies and gentlemen, to the fax machine. What do we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We got one from Arnold. Hello to Arnold. Hi, Chris and Pete. I don't know why I'm talking like this. Arnold from Vancouver, Canada. I mean, it's kind of French, isn't it? Hope you guys are doing well. Not in Vancouver. I started listening to this podcast after Chris's Sapporo live stream. It used to be the perfect companion for my 40-minute drive to work. Then, since social distancing, I mostly stayed home and accelerated through the playlist, running out of episodes now. My question is, with your knowledge of kanji characters, does that help you navigate through Chinese-speaking travel destinations such as China, Taiwan, and Hong Kong? Another question to both Pete and Chris. If you have to get a Japanese name, what would it be and why? Thank you and best of health, Arnold. I didn't even see this question coming up, and we've just been talking about kanji and everything. Oh, it fits together so nicely, like a capsule in a bloody building.
Perfect. That's a good question. I knew that the Japanese kanji were derived from Chinese characters, obviously, but I didn't know how much. But I went to Taiwan about 2 or 3 years ago, which is a great place. Highly recommend it. Love it. And was blown away by how much I could not really read, but understand. Like, you look at a menu, and I think there's the same character for things like noodles or meat or beef. So I could tell what was beef, and I could tell what was meat, and I could tell what was noodles. Anything else, I didn't have a clue. But it was really quite useful. It actually really helped. And you can kind of read things like, oh, this is water, this is drinkable tap water, things like that. So it does come in quite handy. So, yeah, it actually is quite useful. You can't pronounce it. You can't say it out loud. But you can kind of identify that, oh, that kanji character, well, that character means this and it means water, it means food. So really kind of convenient. As for my Japanese name, I think that's a tough one. I like the name Takeshi because it's simple.
Yeah.
And it's from Takeshi's Castle, which is everyone's favourite TV show in the UK from the 80s. And so probably just Takeshi Sato, because it's nice and simple. Not even exciting. Nice. It's just Takeshi Sato. That's my name. What about you, Pete?
I like something with a ski in, so I'd probably go for Natsuki. Natsuki Donaldson.
Natsuki Donaldson.
Natsuki Donaldson. I'll take it.
That sounds like... A terrible marriage gone very wrong, and such a marriage would require the services of the aforementioned apartment company. We got one from Matt from Reading, who says, hey guys, word on the street is Chris recently bought a car for his birthday. That I did, Matt. got to buy myself something good, given that nobody else bought me anything. Chris is keen to do a road trip. I say word on the street. I watched his birthday live stream announcement. Firstly, to Chris, I'd like to know where in Japan he's not yet been that he'd like to visit. And to Pete, live the adventure Donaldson, who I know has always seen a lot of the country. What are some places and regions in Japan you're keen to explore in the future? Maybe you guys could film an epic road trip together, like Journey Across Japan, but without bikes. Keep it up, lads. Matt from Reading. That's a good one. I like the phrase, Pete, live the adventure Donaldson. It's a pretty cool nickname.
Mate, I'm having that.
Nickname. It's up there with Donnie.
Like towards my 40s.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, I'll throw that ball to you first. Anywhere you'd like to visit that you've not yet seen? I know you've seen quite a lot of the country and been to places that not even I have, like Miyazaki.
I've not done any of the little island what's the little island in the middle of, like, sort of west of Tokyo and south of Kyoto, like that little chunky bit. What's that big chunky boy? Shikoku Island. Yeah, I've not done much of that, and I've not done any of the islands off. I've only done like a couple of islands off the coast, because obviously Japan is flush with different little islands. I was planning on going to Kyo. Is it Kyo? No. It's some island that's off the coast of Fukuoka, but I just never got there in the end because I sleep a lot, and I missed the ferry. Yeah, and I missed the ferry. So I didn't do that. So I'd like to explore some of the islands. The only thing is, though, like, sometimes you sort of think, I'm on here for 2 weeks. I'm wasting a whole day on a ferry.
Yeah. I guess it depends on the island and what there is there. Like, Sado Island is quite nice in the Sea of Japan. Not a whole lot there, admittedly, but it's a nice little escape. I kind of like islands because you can feel like you can just escape a little bit. And if you get a car, you can drive around the coastline. There's some stunning beaches, but I know you can't drive, so maybe it's not worth it. I remember your story about the time, I think you went to Korea and you had trouble getting a taxi and got stuck on an island. Am I making that up? Did that happen?
That was, that was Korea. That was in, I was on Jeju Island, which is a beautiful, I think we spoke about it before, but it's the busiest flight corridor in the world from Korea to Jeju. Certainly Seoul to Jeju anyway. And I just couldn't get a taxi. It was hotter than I've ever been before. I'd eaten a whole bag of really hot spicy chicken, and I had a bit of a breakdown.
Oh no.
I said, Craig, I can't get us a taxi. I think I'm having a breakdown. I should have jumped in the sea. That would have sorted it all out.
Yeah, that would have helped, wouldn't it? Definitely. In terms of places I'd like to visit, I was looking at I've got a map on the Abroad Japan website, which I strongly urge you to check it out, the abroadjapan.com/map website. And on the map, we've got like 100 pinpoints of videos where we've made videos, and it's quite cool. But there's like 3 or 4 really noticeable patches where there's no videos we've never been to. One of them is Hokkaido, kind of the east part of the island, anything east of Sapporo. The other one's Shikoku, like you, Pete. The other one is central Japan. I haven't explored, well, I certainly haven't filmed much of cities like Nagano or Matsumoto and Takayama. I'd love to go there. And also Tottori and the sand dunes of Tottori and that kind of region, Shimane and Tottori around the back of Hiroshima. So certainly like quite a few locations dotted around the country yet to be discovered. And I think a road trip could be a lot of fun. And I've actually been thinking of doing a sort of Journey Across Japan follow-up, but good, because it's less cycling and more driving, which is instantly better because it's much less effortless.
Have you got your car yet?
I do have my car. Yay!
I've got my car. What's it like? Vroom, vroom. I'm in my mum's car. Vroom, vroom.
It's a Honda Fit and it's phenomenally economical. It's not particularly fun to drive at all, but it gets the job done. It goes from, you know, A to B easily, but it's at the end of each drive, it tells you, gives you like a little rating on how economical your driving's been, like on a scale of 1 to 5.
Gamifying
which isn't
it.
My idea of fun, really. But yeah, it's nice to have a car. Obviously, not really driving around much yet, but looking forward to hopping in it. Certainly, when it heats up a bit, it's still pretty cold up here in Tohoku. So when it heats up, I will be getting in it, and hopefully by then, things will have improved. But yeah, I'm up for a road trip. Are you up for a road trip, Pete? Are you going to come along?
I'm up for a road trip, baby.
Let's do it. Shikoku. We've got one here from Marcelo from Copenhagen. Says, hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a huge fan. After visiting Japan 3 years in a row in January, I would argue that it's the best time to go. That's a good point. He says, this is due to the lack of tourists. So you actually have the temples and attractions almost all to yourselves, especially if you go early in the morning. The winter season's scenery is very underrated. It's nice and quiet, and you really have the time and space to reflect. Three questions. You can choose one. Number one, how does South Korea differ from Japan? Number two, if you could choose one city in Japan to spend the pandemic, which one would it be? And number three, Christ, I'm assuming he spelled Chris wrong or something there I don't know about. Christ, do you have any new book recommendations? I just finished Ghost of the Tsunami. Please stop making so much addicted content. I need to study, and my girlfriend and friends are really tired of listening to me talk about Japan and throwing them Japanese facts all the time. Keep up the amazing work. Marcelo from Copenhagen. Three questions. Let's answer them very quickly. Number one, South Korea, rather than tell you the differences between South Korea and Japan, we did do a podcast, didn't we, Pete, about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, because both of us went there. The same kind of time, I think. So go and seek out that podcast. I think we talked about like 12 different ways or 12 ways the countries are different. But in short, I really like South Korea. It's a fantastic country, or certainly Seoul, where I got to spend some time. Number two, if you could choose one city in Japan to spend the pandemic, which one would it be? It would probably be where I am now, on the outskirts of Sendai, just by virtue of the fact Tohoku hasn't had many cases. It's been relatively quiet and laid back. Where would you want to go? If you were going to spend
if you're sort of like talking about Sakata or something, like somewhere really quiet, I mean, I don't even notice whether there was a pandemic on or not. This is so quiet.
Well, yeah, like where I am, there's not a whole lot of differences. Certainly restaurants are actually closed and the big shopping malls have closed apart from the supermarkets. Starbucks, you can't sit inside. You can only order the coffee and run, which is fine with me. I do that anyway. Yeah, you wouldn't really know, to be honest. Just the shops and things are a bit more quiet than usual. In terms of book recommendations, I would actually recommend another book by the same author. So Ghost of the Tsunami is a very sad story, nonfiction, about the tsunami, how it destroyed the Okawa Elementary School north of the city of Ishinomaki, not too far from here. Unfortunately, all the kids were lost their lives in the tsunami. Except a few who escaped to the nearby mountain. It's about the terrible management decisions that led to its destruction. And I know we didn't go there, Pete, but I think you saw it out the car window when we're driving through there. Very sad. Yeah. But the author, Richard Lloyd Parry, did another good book called People Who Eat Darkness. It's a similarly rather grim read, but very interesting. And it's about the murder of Lucy Blackman, a British girl who came over here to work and disappeared. And it's about the kind of long 2-3 year investigation into her murder and what happened. And it's very grim reading, very gripping, and it will shake your faith in the Japanese policing in general, because they did a very bad job. So that's my read. Sorry it's a bit bleak, but very good books. And yeah, thanks for the questions, Marcello. Keep up the great work. Keep up reading.
Indeed.
What have we got next, Pete?
You got an email from Alana De La Vega from Vancouver, Canada. A lot of Canadians getting involved this week. Hello, Lord Pete and Sir Chris. Thank you for those titles.
Lord Pete?
I was recently listening to your 12 Things You Want to Do in Japan in 2020 podcast and realised you didn't include visiting Hello Kitty Land. Preposterous. Have you fellas ever visited it or plan to visit? If not, I urge you to consider visiting. My best friend and I went to Hello Kitty Land last year during our trip to Japan, and the kawaii parade changed our lives. Neither of us understood most of the song lyrics, but the songs were so damn catchy, we couldn't help but sing out our hearts out with Kitty-san. And my friend would argue that it was just me singing in my limited Japanese like a maniac foreigner, but I disagree. I felt like we belonged to a happy cult worshipping Hello Kitty. The parade even had aerial dancers and acrobats. I bet Chris would find it hard not to smile and sing along until he saw the price of the merchandise you feel compelled to buy once your brain washed by the parade. Anyway, I expect a vlog or a documentary on the magical cult of Hello Kitty Land once this entire situation blows over. In the meantime, I will go and listen to Hello Kitty by Avril Lavigne to quench my thirst for more kawaii parade songs, and not because Kitty's aunt is threatening me. Take care, stay safe, and thank you for your podcast. I've been keeping my spirits up during these times. Alana de la Vega, you scare me with the things you want Chris to do.
I think we have found a sequel to your next video in your on your YouTube channel, Pete. You've sold us the rice cookers of Narita Airport, and now it's time for you to venture forth into Hello Kitty Land, which is my idea of hell, particularly this kawaii parade, the cute parade. I've never heard of this place, but I did look it up when I just read this message, and it looks absolute crap. It looks horrible. It looks terrifying. It's just loads of people dressed up like Hello Kitty and big Hello Kitty costumes bouncing around. Looks absolute nightmarish. The only thing worse is the song Hello Kitty by Avril Lavigne. And if that plays there, then we've got just the worst place in the world ever.
We got troubles.
I'm not going to be going there. But I might send Pete in with a camera. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
And don't go and listen to Hello Kitty by Avril Lavigne. It's such a bad song. I remember I played it to Natsuki once, and after he listened to it, he was so shocked, he nearly punched me in the face. So avoid that. One from Michael says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Thought I would start by saying I'm not the Michael McIntyre, famous for his Comedy Roadshow. It just so happens to be my name. In fact, I wasn't even named after him. Believe it or not, I was actually named... I was actually named after Michael Jordan from his appearance in the movie Space Jam. Brilliant, Michael. That's one of the best openings I've had to an email. Named after Michael Jordan from Space Jam. Anyway, I'm off to university this September to continue my Japanese studies, and I'm planning on returning to Japan for a few months at the end of the academic year. To save money, I was considering doing some hitchhiking and was wondering if that would be possible in Japan. Would anyone pick me up? Or would people just be confused as to why I have my thumb in the air? Thank you and stay safe, Michael." That's interesting. Hitchhiking. Mm. Have you ever done hitchhiking, Pete? Seems like the sort of adventurous, crazy like thing you would do.
It would certainly rescue the fact that I can't actually drive, which would probably help if I was in a situation where I couldn't drive somewhere. So no, I've never actually hitchhiked. Have you ever hitchhiked?
I haven't. It's just like not what I would do. I think it would give me real anxiety standing by the side of a highway with my thumb out. I do know a few friends that have done it. I know some guys that have tried it and failed. I know a guy, I think my friend Regan, he was in Nagoya once trying to hitchhike to North Japan, and he stood by a highway for like 6 hours and nobody stopped, unfortunately. Which is a shame and a surprise because he's a handsome young man. But I do know some girls who did go quite far. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, some friends on the JET program working with me went from like Fukuoka to Tokyo across 2 or 3 trucks in a day. My takeaway from that was if you're a girl, you win. You will be able to hitchhike. If you're a guy, you're stuffed. It's not happening. Yeah, give it a shot, Michael. You got nothing to lose except your dignity. I certainly won't be trying it in a hurry. Hitchhiking terrifies me. We got one from Henry. He says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. How are you today?" We're good, Henry. I'm Henry, and I'm writing to you from the heart of Germany. And I'd like to submit a few questions. The first one is, did one of you ever been to Germany? Yep. And the second one is, what do Japanese people think about the Germans? I really enjoy listening to the podcast. It's a nice way to relax. The YouTube channel has brought me the dream of teaching English in Japan. A few days ago, it was my birthday, and because my family does know my dream about coming to Japan, they gave me a katana as my birthday present. They sung me happy birthday in Japanese. Wow. That's insane. That's the best family ever. Keep up the good work, Chris and Pete. Keep it up. Best regards, Henry. Happy birthday, Chris. And he's written it in German. I don't know if I dare read that out. Alles Gute zum Geburtstag. You can do it. You're good at this. You're good. I studied German for 3 years, and all I remember is the word for potato is Kartoffel, and ich bin doof, which means I'm an idiot. And that is what I remember from three years of studies.
I like that you said Kartoffel, that potato word, like a Japanese person. Very enjoyable.
Kartoffel. I have been to Germany. I went to Berlin a few years ago and I really liked it. Everyone was very friendly. The beer was fantastic. Paulaner Weissbier was outstanding. I remember it had it was the beer flavoured like banana. It was the future. And I just remember everyone spoke English incredibly well, which I think was one of the reasons I didn't bother studying German that much, because I just felt everyone in Germany just speaks English better than most English people that I know. But I'd love to go again. Love to go to Munich. I know you've been, Pete, because you pass through Germany every time you come to Japan, because you've worked out it's a life hack.
Well,
cheap flights only. Have you gone beyond that?
I've done. I mean, it's Germany, mate. It's Germany. One of the best countries in the world. I've done the big four: Cologne, Berlin, Hamburg, Munich. That's the four corners.
the four corners of Germany.
But I do need to explore further. Hamburg was particularly fun. I recommend that place a lot.
But have you ever got a katana for your birthday present and been sung happy birthday in Japanese by family?
I think my Auntie Joan, she used to work for a woman who was called Peggy Selix, it was a name that was just in our lives a lot when I was a kid. Peggy Selix this, Peggy Selix this, and Peggy Selix that. And I was like, who the hell is Peggy Selix? Anyway, she she quite recently revealed that Peggy Selix's husband was an admiral in the Navy. It's probably like we're dirt poor, like my family, and so is and my Auntie Joan as well. Well, she used to clean for Peggy Selix, and Peggy Selix's husband was the admiral in the Navy, I think. And we used to bring back stuff from Japan quite a lot. So I'm fairly certain she's promised me a ceremonial sword when she goes, bless her. But I always feel, because I'm the only person in the family who's expressed any interest in Japan, she just keeps giving me these like amazing turn of the century, cheap but decent quality Japanese kind of plates and boards and decorative boards and stuff like that. So I've got quite a little collection now. It's lovely.
That's fantastic. Goes with your automaton musical devices and various other things. And your Tenga collection. But, I'd love a katana. I don't know what I'd do with it. I'd love one. But I don't know how I'd get it through customs the day that I decided to move to the UK again. That could be rather ominous.
I just worry about any man with a rumpus room. Any man with a man cave with a sword on the wall. I just worry. I just worry, it is all. I think that would be a step too far for me. I have no interest in swords. Though I did once pen what can only be described as a parody song called Dads with Swords. And it became a bit of an internet hit.
Really?
Got a few of you, Dads with Swords, and it was to the theme tune Girls on Film by that band that I can never remember.
Duran Duran.
Duran Duran. And it was just basically a promotional video from a swords company who were demonstrating their swords on lumps of meat and stuff like that in the car park. and it just looked so funny because they just all looked like dads, but they were just dads obsessed with making swords.
Brilliant.
And I did a little song and made a little video, and I can't remember what I put it out. I put it out on one of some YouTube channel. Just search on YouTube for Dads with Swords.
I will.
It's a bop. It really is, as the kids say. But I remember a sword podcast got in touch and said, can we use your song as the tune to our podcast? And of course, I don't own the rights because it's not my song. But Dads with Swords will live forever on that podcast, I think.
I know what I'm doing straight after this. Not only am I going to look up Disaster Report 4, the greatest game ever, check out Dads with Swords. Brilliant. Yeah. Nice one.
Terrible.
I know for a fact, though, there's about 150 people in Japan that can make swords still. So not that many. It's dying out. No. Not that many people buy them anymore. Apparently they give out swords for like special occasions, like Henry's birthday, or if you get married and things like that. I'd love one. If anybody's listening to this and they want to give me a sword, do it. Let's do it.
Give me a sword.
I got one here from Michaela. He says, "Ohayo, good morning, Chris and Pete. I'm writing to see if you could wish my amazing boyfriend, Evan, a happy birthday for the 1st of May. He's been a rather obsessed Abroad in Japan fan for years and quickly converted me into one as well. As fate would have it, I was lucky enough. I butchered the English language there, didn't I? As fate would have it, I was lucky enough to get a performing job in Japan this year, made the move to Osaka. Oh, lucky devil. Evan was meant to make his first ever trip to Japan this month and celebrate here, but due to the coronavirus, he will be in London instead. I know he would love to get a shout out from you guys. We both listen in religiously every week and check to see what speedy Japanese we can learn. Thanks for keeping us laughing and for the updates on all the random happenings during these weird times on both sides of the world, and not forgetting a belated Tanjobi Omodeto for Chris. Thank you, Michaela, and happy birthday to Evan. Sorry you didn't make it over to Japan, Evan. Hopefully things will improve in the coming months, and best of luck to you, Michaela, in Osaka. I'm not sure what the performing job involves. Is performing job? I'm picturing Universal Studios, because that's what comes to mind. Universal Studios, Osaka. Yeah. But best of luck to you both, and thank you for the birthday wishes. I hope Evan has a good birthday, despite being thousands of miles away from you. And I hope you get a sword like Henry. A lot of birthdays this week, isn't it?
Yeah,
me, you, Evan, Henry. Only one of us has got a sword, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Tanjobi Omodeto.
I've got a crappy knife.
Oh, poor old Pete. What do you want for your birthday this year?
I think when you get freedom, when you get to my age, Chris, that's a problem with being a grown up. I mean, unless you like really want like a Lamborghini, you can kind of buy everything that you want. So, birthday presents in particular hold no significance. I've never really been big on birthdays, so maybe I'll
feels
maybe
like
I'll
having
buy a car.
Even though getting older. Drive. Getting older feels like having a cheat code sometimes, because I know what you mean. Like, I remember when I was like 12 or 13 and there was for my birthday, I was like, I want Die Hard on DVD. And my mum or dad was like, oh, we can't afford Die Hard. It's like £10. And now I can walk in a shop and I can buy like a Nintendo Switch if I so desire. I mean, I'm not going to, but if I wanted.
Die Hard. Look, you said you want to Die Hard, so you're going to get Die Hard, Chris. Honestly, Jesus. Decide.
There you go. I am going to buy you a sword for your birthday. Oh, a really cheap sword.
Right. The cheapest sword. Through customs.
Straight off Amazon. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next time, guys, to do it all over again. But for now, stay safe. Stay away. Stay safe. Stay indoors.
Stay frosty.
Stay frosty, and have a great week if possible. And we'll be back to do it all over again next Wednesday. Bye for now.
Die Hard!
A Stakhanov production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.